Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. The COVID-19 is a crisis without precedent in recent memory. Even for the most seasoned of business leaders, the last 6 months have been rough, but they also provided valuable lessons. Among the industries that felt this predicament most keenly are firms supporting essential services, organizations in their fight against the pandemic. French energy giant Engie, which has 170,000 global employees and 4,500 in Asia-Pacific, continued to carry out essential tasks 24/7 to keep critical healthcare, public transportation, and other facilities up. By providing them with the necessary energy supply, services, and support to function at full capacity, Singapore is kept running and its people kept safe. Today, we speak to Greg Murray, Chief Human Resource, Communications, and CSR Officer at Engie Asia Pacific, about people leadership in a crisis. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Howie, for the invitation.
So unprecedented times. What do you think, though, strong people leadership during these kinds of times looks like or is supposed to look like, really?
Yeah, well, look, I think let's start with the big picture. So, you know, crises is not a new phenomenon. So throughout human history, you know, we've been exposed to and have had to manage our way through various challenges. You know, Spanish flu, Great Depression, 9/11, SARS, and now, of course, COVID. So for me, you know, COVID, whilst its impact has been felt everywhere and by everyone, it is by definition a more short to medium term crisis. You know, when I think about longer term, there's still the crises that we have around climate change, which we absolutely must tackle. So, you know, in that context, what does strong leadership start to look like at these times? Well, you know, for me, firstly, it's all about a balancing act. So managing and navigating the short term challenges and the constraints, whilst balancing that with the longer term and always having the bigger picture in mind. So really two parts to this, Howie. You know, I see firstly a great example of strong leadership coming from Singapore. You know, if we look at how the government has responded to the COVID crisis, how they've been very transparent, giving clear guidance, keeping that balance on the short term and the recovery on the longer term has been really key. And they've put some great actions in place to help support the country, whether that's been funding for businesses to keep employment of its citizens, which has been proportionate and necessary. You know, the Economic Development Board's efforts to collaborate with industry and bring businesses back online, or even, you know, the strong solidarity efforts that we've all had to sort of go through to help manage through this moment. But, you know, for me, they're strong actions, but they are short term. On the longer term, though, you know, you see this balancing act coming from the Singapore government to addressing our climate crisis through its commitment to redefining the energy story for Singapore. So that was, you know, that's been launched through the four switches strategy. So what we see here is a great example of strong leadership, you know, the balance, the transparency, the clear direction, and remaining bold. I think the second part to that is, you know, smart leaders. So smart leaders know that if they aren't actively balancing the short term with the long term, you know, the consequences of that will catch up with them eventually. And so I've seen smart leaders and industrial consumers of energy come to us and say, hey, you know, now is the time for us to be investing more into sustainable energy solutions. And for me, I say smart because, you know, those companies know that if they're not driving towards and balancing the longer term vision through taking sustainability seriously or playing their part on this long-term human crisis on climate change, that, you know, the customers of those companies will simply place their vote by not spending their money on their products and services in the future. So for me, you know, it's clear that crises, various forms, will always be with us, and strong leadership recognises and plans for that, and the smart leaders act on it.
Some things are difficult to plan for, so to speak, Greg, like this particular crisis. I think it was left field, not a lot of people anticipated it, and then now you're saying you should already be thinking about long-term things like climate change and how to tackle it. That's hard to do, though. Some organizations are struggling with survival.
Yeah, look, it's true. But I mean, this is the nature of what the world we live in. It's a case that we're always going to have to balance that dynamic. And, you know, for me, we've managed to do that before throughout history, and organisations that have remained focused have always come out of those crises in a much better place. So, you know, this notion of balancing short and long term is not a new one, but in fact, it's more enhanced during a time like this.
Because say if we talk about tapping into intuition, making these major decisions quickly with so little information at this point, for example, during this crisis, things are evolving so quickly. So what you knew yesterday is not the same as what you may know today. That's rough. That's difficult to do, right?
Yeah. No, look, it's a big challenge. And, you know, irrespective if you're a CEO, CFO or CHRO, no one's had all of the answers during the COVID crisis. So for me, the best leaders that I've seen have quickly processed all that available information, figured out, of course, what matters most, and then made decisions. And I think the key part is really putting people in the center of that. So thinking about them first, whether they're customers, colleagues, or in communities. So I think, you know, by acknowledging this concept that no one has the whole answer, but then having the humility to ask for help, for input, and then listening on the answer is really key. And that's what helps take you through. To give you an example, in NG, you know, we've been running a number of surveys with our staff across the region. And, you know, and they've continually told us what's working well, what they want us to continue to focus on. And then the key part as a leader is fulfilling your contract, which is to act on that feedback. So that's really important. And, you know, if a decision goes wrong or events change, then it's completely okay to circle back, stop and adjust. And you know, you want people around who don't judge that fall, but more the time it takes to get back up.
So how can then leaders in organizations, how are you folks over at NG balancing, say, customer needs, your employees' safety, ensuring, say, critical service providers serve your customers or Singapore, for that matter, to the people's needs without compromising that safety?
Yeah, okay. Well, firstly, you know, we have to realize that these topics are not mutually exclusive. So, you know, a great customer outcome includes keeping employees safe as well, not in spite of it. So, you know, for us as an energy company, you know, you'd expect safety is strongly embedded in our DNA. Mm. So we were able to make those adjustments really quickly for staff and to provide a safe working environment. You know, in the early stages of COVID, we were working really closely with suppliers to ensure that our frontline staff had enough personal protective equipment. And to give you an example, we were using around 25,000 masks per month just to keep our employees safe. Yeah, until we found a more sustainable and safe version of reusable masks. So you know, when you sort of put that together, we had a workforce which half were still working on client sites and half were working from home. So we really needed to be proactive and get that balance right in how we managed each employee's different circumstances.
What do you reckon helped during that time? Being communicative, right? The role of communications during a time like this.
Totally. I mean, and you know, and it's been clear that, you know, communications is not spin doctoring. It's what's really important is to be concise, clear, and regular with your communications during moments like this. In many ways at NG, we sort of reflected the Singapore example that I gave at the start, which is to stay really connected with our people, our customers and communities, and of course the countries we operate in. We set up, you know, multi-channel approach to keep our employees informed. So we've had town halls and Ask Me Anything sessions with our executive team. And also looking at putting in, you know, weekly learn at lunch type activities so that we can still keep focusing on how we innovate and build solutions for customers. What's been really important as well during this time is to thank staff, you know, so we've conducted management site visits where we could. We've also done e-management safety visits. So to really join the team virtually so that we could understand their working environment, with more proximity. And you know, I think what's always key, right, is because we're humans, you've got to keep it fun. So we've done lots of, you know, short activities around, you know, cooking and fitness challenges and wellness. So that's all been stuff to keep us engaged. Yeah. So, you know, these things, you can always adapt them. And you know, we're doing that with customers as well. In July, we signed an MOU virtually with Sunway Construction in Malaysia. To expand our district cooling business there. So we had to effectively do a ceremony all done virtually. So, you know, there's lots of fun ways that, you know, you can operate differently with communications, but it's always got to be clear, concise and regular.
I'm trying to imagine virtually cutting a ribbon. Speaking to Greg Murray, who's Chief Human Resource Communications and CSR Officer at NG Asia Pacific. So how can, though, companies at this point prepare for that? A dreaded second or even subsequent waves of infection if they're to come?
Well, yeah, okay. Well, let's hope this doesn't happen. But indeed, we have seen that happen across the APAC region. So look, I think the key is to anticipate it is different each time, no matter how well prepared we are. You know, Singapore as a country is always really systematic in its approach to crises, and it's taken a lot of learnings, you know, from previous experience in SARS. So, you know, Singapore was really quite well prepared and able to handle COVID in the early stages, and obviously adapt the learnings to the current context. You know, for us as a business, we continue to make investments. You know, we are continuing to upgrade our IT infrastructure. You know, in Malaysia, for example, we've moved into a bigger office to accommodate, you know, a growing business there. And in Singapore, we're renovating our own offices here to bring all of our entities under one roof. So, you know, this notion of continuing to invest is really key during times like this, and to get ready if there is a second wave. But, you know, if that were to come, we go back to first principles, you know, having a strong people leadership and clear communications helps take you through that.
So if I head back a bit, it seems several organizations felt a little unprepared for this remote work environment, this work from home, and there was difficulty maintaining high productivity, for example, or continuing to be engaged with their employees. What sort of recommendations do you have, Greg?
Well, look, I think, you know, let's start with training. So, you know, I'm a strong believer that investing in your staff, whether it's crisis or not, is a non-negotiable, particularly if you want your customers to continue to have the best customer focus and experience from your teams. So, I mean, to give you an example, at the start of this year, we established NG APAC University. And the purpose of that, simply said, is just to bring global knowledge on solutions for customers to our APAC activities. But you can imagine after having launched that, we had to pivot very quickly because the concept of doing physical training evaporated. So, you know, since then, we've completely reorientated that approach, and now we're offering a wide range of virtual e-learnings and e-classroom activities to keep our people, you know, able to continue to learn and develop during this time. And we've had almost half of our workforce go through that training since the launch of it at the start of the year. The notion of training is really key in investing in that, and, you know, we're looking at currently at finalising a virtual reality training on health and safety, for example, where people can experience and understand the challenges that come from changing workplaces in a very unique custom and customised way, which is obviously very user designed and digital. So, you know, that's been really key, is to stay focused on the learning and development of staff, on talent. You know, you've always got to remain focused on how you grow talent. And we've had our talent pools working on real life projects and challenges, which are really focused on accelerating customer solutions across industries and communities. You know, coming back to the question on productivity, you know, one hurdle was, of course, whether or not we could maintain productivity as close to normal with people having to work from home. And I would say, you know, the truth is we've managed it really well. We've, you know, in a recent survey with our staff, for example, over 93% of them told us that they had adapted well to the changing condition. So, you know, that's a strong endorsement or a vote, if you like, on how well it's been managed during this time.
Would you reckon that these are must-dos for HRs at this point?
Look, absolutely. The concept is always, should always focus on how the function is helping, you know, manage the bottom line, you know, keeping a good and cost-efficient approach within the organisation. But at the same time, you've got to be part of how you grow the revenues of the business. So, you know, when you think about learning, training, development and talent, you know, these are all things that ultimately help your business grow. So, you know, they're non-negotiables, right?
Do you think the pandemic's upended the HR function?
You know,
or has that change been in the works or needed to be in the works even before the pandemic hit?
Yeah. Look, I mean, for me, I think it's accelerated us into digitalization much more quicker than what we had planned for, to be honest. But, I see that as a major positive. So, you know, consequently, we've been experimenting more on how we digitalize it further into the future. So whether we think about training, communications, you know, just general processes. So in many ways, you know, the employee experience in organizations should really benefit from that. And that's exciting for me. On engagement of people, you know, which again is really important for organizations during this time, keeping people aligned to purpose. You know, our teams have told us that the connection to our purpose in NG remains as high as ever. So, you know, our people are really committed to making a difference on this climate change crisis. and helping customers reduce their energy use. And, you know, COVID hasn't dampened that. So that's a huge credit to our leaders and the local HR teams for remaining focused on that. You know, I think the next 3 years will be really defining for this generation. And you know, everyone keeps talking about this new normal as the headline. But, you know, beyond that, I think, you know, the real things to watch will be how customer needs may change and how society's needs will adapt. Because I think that that's going to be a big part on what this new normal will look like. And, of course, our organisations and our capabilities are going to have to reflect that.
Greg Murray is Chief Human Resource Communications and CSR Officer at NG Asia Pacific. Greg, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Howie, and stay safe.
This has been Career 360 on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.